I want to go back to the Second Chronicles for just a second. Okay. Second Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. So in the footnote of my NIV study Bible,
yep.
I want to read that part.
Okay.
It really... So in the footnote, it says, in chapter 6, Solomon asked God to make provisions for the people when they sinned. God answered with four conditions for forgiveness. First one, humble yourself by admitting your sins. Two, pray to God asking for forgiveness. Three, seek God continually. And four, turn from sinful behavior. True repentance is more than talk. It is changed behavior. Whether we sin individually, as a group, or as a nation. Following these steps will lead to forgiveness. God will answer our earnest prayers. For some reason before, when I've read that, it didn't really pop out at me
right.
before like it did this morning.
Right.
And I was like, four steps. Okay. Do you have any prayer requests over there? Okay. I have a few. Let's pray for the family of Reverend Joe George. Reverend Joe George made his move to his heavenly home yesterday morning. And then pray for my little sister, Renee, who is at a doctor's appointment due to hip pain. And then this last one is for me personally. Pray for favor as we go tomorrow to file for the guardianship to be resolved. And that Angel gets to go home with his mama. I'm telling you, people, God still restores.
Yep. I'm going to add one to this list, too. I got a friend of mine who's home not feeling well today. Her name is Sarah, so I'm going to pray for her. All right, so Father, we just thank you for loving us. God, we are just in awe of who you are today. And Father, we just want to pray for the family of Reverend Joe George. Obviously, he was a preacher of the gospel. And I thank you, Father, that today he is seated in heavenly places with you. That's our most joy that we have as a Christian, is to know that on the other side of this life is you waiting for us in our heavenly home. But Father, on this side, on the dirt still, it hurts our hearts. So Father, I just ask that you would be with his family. God, grief is a part of our lives here on earth. So I just thank you that even in the moments of grief, Father, that you can bring strength and peace, even through the moments of loss. So Father, I just pray that over their family today, Father, that as they just reflect on his life and the truth that he taught from the word, God, that would bring them peace in their hearts as they now don't have him anymore, Father. But that they could even celebrate his life in heaven with you today, Father. We just thank you for that. And for Renee, Father, we just pray for everything that's going on in her physical body, Father. We just thank you. And as even we're going to continue to talk about today is, God, you are a God that restores health to our body. So, Father, we just thank you for restoring health to Renee's body. Father, we just thank you for that and her and just touching her in a supernatural way, God. And Father, for this guardianship. Father, I just thank you as we see through the entire scripture, you are a God of reconciliation. You reconcile, you bring back together, you restore what was lost. And again, Father, I'm just so thankful for that. And I thank you for tomorrow, God, that when they go before them, Father, I ask for the restoration of a family. I thank you for that, that you have moved in such a mighty way in this whole situation and in this family. And God, I thank you that you're not going to stop where you're at now, that you're just going to continue to bless and to bring those the family just back together into completion and wholeness, and that they would start walking in everything that you have for their entire bloodline, Father. I just thank you for that. And I even look at the scripture, God, and I see the importance of the bloodlines. You talk about the genealogies and going back through. And sometimes we'll look at our own lives and say, look at what we've done or look what I've done and try to disqualify. But it's not because of what we've done. It's because of what you do. So, God, I thank you that you're restoring this bloodline, the family, the mother and the son, the daughter and the fathers. You're restoring those back together. We just thank you for that in Jesus' name. And God, I want to lift up my friend Sarah today. Father, she's just home, not feeling well. Father, I just thank you that you are giving her the wisdom, Father, to just pursue you, to walk the things out of you. But Father, we just thank you that in that pursuit, we don't have to put up with sickness or infirmity. And so, God, we just thank you for that in her life today, that Father, she is fully restored in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty. The address is 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue right here in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We hope.
We are back. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is Jason Mung, and his title is Exodus.
All right, so we're back to the story. So we're in the end of Exodus 3 right here. So we see God speaks to Moses through the burning bush, and he calls his life He calls him out of now that he had left the land of Egypt, and God's going to call him back. He's going to go back to deliver the people. So God basically does that. He says, hey, you know, I need you to come back. He says there in the end, he's going to give you favor in the eyes of the Egyptians. Matter of fact, he even speaks prophetically here that they will give you gifts so you will not leave empty-handed. And that just doesn't make sense, right? When we've read the first part of the story, they've been slaves. They have been taken advantage of. But God speaks here and he says, I'm going to make them look favorably on you, and they'll actually even give you gifts when you leave. So then we get into 4. So God tells Moses, you need to go back. And I'm going to highlight verse 10 here in Exodus 4. But Moses pleaded with the Lord, O Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been. I'm not now. Even though you've spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. What do we see Moses doing here? God is calling his life, and he is giving him an objective. He's giving him, this is what you need to do. And what does Moses do right from the very beginning? He starts making excuses, right? And what blows my mind is, if you go back up in the very top part of that chapter, God actually shows him, because he asks, what if they don't believe me? And God said, well, I'm going to show you some things. And he says, throw that staff on the ground. He throws it on the ground, and it becomes a snake. He says, put your hand inside your cloak, and he pulls it out, and it's completely withered away. And then he puts it back in, he comes out, and it's completely restored. Then he pours water on the ground, and it becomes blood. Like, God shows him some very miraculous things. And then what does Moses do in that moment? But God, I'm not qualified. And how many times in our lives, and again, if we look back in the beginning of the story, Moses was a murderer, mm-hmm. you know? And now he's looking to his inadequacies in his speech and how he can talk. And he's giving God all the reasons why he can't do what God's calling his life to do, right? And this is my encouragement. This would be for the leadership of the church. How many times do you disqualify because God's calling you to something that's bigger than you are? And I know personally, I can look at my own life, and there has been times in my life that I have done just this right here. Mm-hmm. I've said, but God, right? And thank God that now I understand the truth of the word, and it's not by my strength. What the word says is when I am weak, that's when God is strong. And that's actually something to celebrate. It's because it's not I'm weak that I can't do this. It's a weak of through the power of my flesh. No, I couldn't pull it off. But because God's strength in me, now I can do everything that God fulfills or calls my life to. I can fulfill every purpose that God has created me for on this earth. And I realize that and I say yes to that. And that's my encouragement to you guys, especially those that walk in leadership roles. Don't try to disqualify yourself, or even those that are just in the body of Christ, right? God is going to call your life to things that are bigger than you are. And as I've stated, you know, in my previous podcast on here, like, we are all called to the work of the ministry. God will use each and every one of your lives to lead others to Christ. You are in the work of the ministry. So don't try to look back to your past. And matter of fact, the way I like to say it is, if you're looking back without the lens of the cross, you're seeing things wrong. And when we will look back, just like with Moses, he could look back and say, well, I'm a murderer. And look at me now. I can't even talk very plain. God, why are me? Why me? What we need to do is just recognize that God, through us, will empower us to fulfill everything that he calls us to. And is he going to call you things to bigger things than you are? Absolutely, because that's what shows it's God and not you, right? So I love this part. That God, Moses is like, hey, man, like, I can't do this. And it actually made the Lord a little bit angry at him, you know? And a matter of fact, so angry to the fact that God was going to kill him. But his wife actually intervenes and says, hey, like, as a matter of fact, you can go read this, what she does there. She does a circumcision and touches him with blood. And so God backs off. It resolves God's anger for that moment. And then he brings in a mouthpiece, basically, for Moses. And he said, okay, if you're not comfortable talking, like, we're still going to do this thing. It doesn't change my plan. But now we're going to bring Aaron into this. So God speaks to Aaron, and him and Moses meet up as we go through Exodus 4 here. And they're going to go back to the Egyptian Pharaoh. And again, those things that we talked about, he goes basically before the Pharaoh and he performs these same miraculous things, the snake. And then what does Pharaoh have? He has his magicians. He has the magicians, right? And that's one of the things I've noticed as we look into the natural and today, again, kind of paralleling the things that we see. Satan always has a mimic for the power of God, right? When God has something that's true and supernatural, then Satan will have this mimic that looks like it's powerful too, but it's not. That's not. God has the ultimate of power. So in this moment where Moses throws down his stick and it becomes a snake, well, the magicians do the same thing. But what I love is Moses' snake eats their snakes, right? Like God one-ups, like, yo, you think so? Well, let me show you. You know, it's just cool to do that and to see that in Scripture. And then again, as that continues on, what does that do? That frustrates the hearts of Pharaoh. And so he's like, well, before we were giving the Egyptians straw, now we're going to not give them straw anymore to make these bricks. It actually gets harder. And what I'm going to parallel is here, I am encouraging you guys that God has come down. God is fixing to move like you have never seen him move before. But on the other side of that, just like we see in the book of Exodus here, things are fixing to get worse. Mm-hmm. Things are fixing to get uglier. Mm-hmm. It's going to look like in the natural that it's all going further south than it even was. But I'm here to tell you, it's the darkest right before the dawn. God has come down. God is moving. God is doing things already, just as we see in the book of Exodus. God is already doing things. He has already raised up leaders in the political realm in the body of Christ to bring encouragement. Why? So we do not make the same mistake that the Israelites did and fall into the seat of complaint and complacency and say, I would rather stay in my slavery state than go through a little bit of hard times. They've been living in hard times for generations. For over 400 years, their life has been oppressed and hard. But because of what they were feeling, those that were currently alive, what they were feeling in the moment, right? They were saying, we would rather just have that than to go through something hard, to fight for what God has for us. But that's what God was calling them to do. And as we continue to go through here, we'll highlight this in a minute. God never lost sight of who they were, even though they did. And as we see, he actually calls them his force, his army. Like, that's who God sees the Israelites as. But what did they see themselves as? As simple slaves, right? We get to eat bread and have meat in this land of slavery. But God was calling them into a land of milk and honey, right? To be, so they could go and worship freely and not have to. Because as you, again, when you look into the culture of what they're saying, they actually were segregated. So I kind of look at this in our geographical area. So we have Elk City, Oklahoma, right? But then we have a community out there called Merritt. And that's kind of the same picture that I see in here. Was we have Egypt, and the Israelites lived in Merritt. But the Egyptians lived in Elk City, right? So that was the land of Egypt. But the Israelites had to stay outside of there. They could not perform any of their religious ceremonies inside of Egypt because Egypt detested it. Why? Because they didn't believe in God. As a matter of fact, when you go to Luke and you read the story, it says that God actually hardened the heart of Pharaoh because, and some people think, well, he didn't have a chance in the first place. But what you have to understand was the heart of Pharaoh was already against God. When you look at Egyptian culture, they actually, as a Pharaoh, they deemed themselves as a god. They put themselves in the most supreme place to be worshipped. They built idols of themselves so people would worship them. Like, they had already set themselves against the things of God. So it wasn't like God was saying, oh, no, you can't have this. I choose you not to be a part of this. God always brought opportunity for repentance. Go into the story of Noah. Like, God sent him to the Nineveh. They were wicked people. They were much like the Egyptians. But God always calls them to repentance first. He gives them a chance, right? And as we see in the story of Noah, like, he didn't want to do it either. He was trying to run away. But God was calling the town of Nineveh to repentance. And as we see, they did. They repented. And it's not that God doesn't give opportunity. But in this place, we see that God was going to use the Pharaoh. He was going to show his power through Pharaoh because Pharaoh had already put himself against God. He declared himself a god. And they walked in complete paganism and worship of other idols and even themselves. So they were totally against God. And even there's one place in here when Moses comes in and he says, you know, God says to let my people go. Pharaoh says, who's your God? You know, like, I don't even recognize your God. It wasn't like a question of, oh, who is your God? It was like, no, dude, like, who is your God that he can do anything? And that's why God had to show up in such a supernatural way. And this, and I do want to point this out. We're going to read this word for word. We're going to be in Exodus 6 here. We're going to go down to verse 5. And I'm going to start here. It says, "You can be sure that I have heard the groans of the people of Israel, who are now slaves to the Egyptians. I am well aware of their covenant with. I am well aware of my covenant with them. Therefore, say to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. I will free you from your oppression, and I will rescue you from your slavery in Egypt. I will redeem you with a powerful arm and great acts of judgment." So again, I'm encouraging you guys and paralleling what we're going through today. The second great Exodus. God says, and he's speaking through the voice of the prophets today, I will free you from your oppression. I will rescue you from your slavery in America, in Canada, in Mexico, wherever you live. God is speaking. He is about to move in a way that you have never seen him move before. And as we continue the story, you're going to see the same thing. God shows up as a cloud, a pillar, and a fire, right? He showed up in a way they had never seen him before. Jumping down to verse 9. So Moses told the people of Israel what the Lord had said, but they refused to listen. They had become too discouraged by the brutality of their slavery. Let's do not find our place, our seat here. Let's do not find our seat to say, we've become so discouraged by what we see in the political realm. We've become so discouraged by inflation and price gouging and all those things that we see going on that are getting into our pocketbooks, that are holding back our supply in the natural. Because our supply is not in the natural. Our supply only comes from God, right? And so if we become too discouraged, what do? We find ourselves seated in the place of complacency and yet again complaint. Instead of that place that we looked at in 2 Chronicles, humility, right? Seeking after what God's plan is and coming to an agreement with what God says, no matter what these five senses see. So we go down through Exodus 6. He told down the very end when the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, and he said to him, I am the Lord, tell Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, everything I'm telling you. But Moses argued again with the Lord, saying, I can't do it. I'm a clumsy speaker. Why would Pharaoh listen to me? Like, again, Moses keeps defaulting to his inadequacies. God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies the called. And he chooses those that he calls, right? We see that all through the Word. So then Exodus 7, verse 4, even then Pharaoh refused to listen to you, so I will bring down my fist upon Egypt. I will rescue my forces. Right? This is where God, even though they have, we're slaves, we're beat down, we've lived this for generations, God speaks to them as who they are. I will rescue my army, my people, my Israelites from the land of Egypt with great acts of judgment. And so from that place on, we go and we see the plague of blood that comes in, right? We see the plague of frogs that come in. Then after that, a plague of gnats. And now again, I painted that picture with Elk City and Merit. So the Egyptians were in Egypt and the Israelites dwelt outside of there, like what would be Merit, right? And that was the land of Goshen is what that was. So then you see a distinction, and this is in Exodus 8 and verse 22. So we see these different plagues that have come in. There's been the gnats, the blood, the flies. But then it says here, but this time I will spare the region of Goshen where my people live. No flies will be found there. Then you will know that I am the Lord, that I am present even in the heart of your land. I will make a clear distinction between my people and your people. This miraculous sign will happen tomorrow. So this is, at first, the blood, it touched the entire land. It touched Merit and Elk City, right? When the gnats showed up, it touched Merit and Elk City. But today, he says, I will now create a distinction between those that know me and choose me and those who do not. And so then this plague of flies was to show up. Elk City was swarmed. Merit wasn't touched, right? And that continues now through the rest of the story. When each one of these plagues show up, the Egyptians are falling underneath the plagues and the things that God is bringing. But the Israelites are not touched. They're protected. So this is a moment of faith, people. This is a moment we have to understand. You are fixing to see things with your eyes. You're fixing to experience things in the natural that are very uncomfortable. But there is going to be a distinction between those that are God's children and those who are not. Because God's, as we see and much through the scripture, God is our covering. God is our refuge. God is our protector. We can come up under his wing and he covers us and he holds us. We have to walk that in faith to believe what God says, right? So there are fixing to be things right around the corner. Things are going to be revealed that you're just going to be in shock and awe. Oh, my goodness. And again, for those people who are listening to me and saying, this guy has lost his mind. What the heck is he talking about? Hold on. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not there yet, you're about to be. Mm-hmm. For those who are a little bit woken up, well, hold on. For those who are fully awake, hold on. Because things are coming that even we cannot fathom, that we cannot imagine. But God has came down yet again. And he is going to move in the lives of his people in ways that we have never seen before. The enemy is going to be in full force as we continue to look into the book of Exodus. As the Egyptians chase the Israelites after their freedom, the enemy is still going to be in full force in pursuit. But God is going to move in ways we have never seen him move before. And that is why God gave us his word. Like I look at what our American Christian church has become, and we have dumbed down the gospel, man. We have brought it down to just asking about simplistic and wants and desires of our heart. We have created God as a genie in a bottle just to fulfill our wants or our desires or our needs. And then when we don't get them, what do? We complain. And it's because our heart is not aligned with the heart of God. Because it's clear in Scripture that when we align our heart with God's, then he said, you can come and ask me anything in Jesus' name, and I will give it to you. You can say to this mountain, get out of the way, and it will move, because my heart is now in line with the heart of the Father. So therefore, anything that I ask, he's going to give it to me, because he knows that my heart's in line with his heart. And we talked about that last time. When the body becomes in alignment to the head, then it's in that place God will move in such a supernatural way. So we see that again as we continue through the book of Exodus. We see livestock, they die. Plagues of festering boils then come up. Plagues of hail that destroy their crops. Like God is showing his power to the Egyptians, saying, that God that you didn't know who was, here I am. I'm going to show you, right? So he continues on. Then a plague of locusts shows up in Exodus 10. Plague of darkness shows up. And then kind of the final straw. This was the moment that God finally come in and he said, from this is going to be the moment that Pharaoh now sees that I am the one and only true God. And so this is where the death angel comes in. And if we all know the story, and this was taught in our Sunday schools, right, where they kill the lamb and they get the blood and they wiped it over the doorpost, over the top and the sides. And the death angel moved through the land of both Egypt and the Israelites. But because the Israelites were instructed to put this blood on there, that was the sign. So when the death angel came to the door and he seen the blood, then he would pass on. And so what we see happened in this moment is Pharaoh actually loses his own son. The firstborn of every person and even of every livestock died at this moment. And that was the moment that finally changed Pharaoh's heart to see, yeah, this is the one true God. So Exodus 12, I'll point out the scripture real quick in verse 13. But the blood on your doorpost will serve as a sign, marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that's where we get the Feast of the Passover for the Israelites. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. So that's exactly what happened in there. Is they came through and they lost the firstborn of every household that did not have the blood over their doorpost. So as we continue on in Exodus 13, I'll read this and then I'll explain. Exodus 13, 18. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Thus the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. So what we see is the plagues, it finally got to Pharaoh's heart, and he was like, okay, you know what? Get out of here. And as a matter of fact, when he told him to leave, again, like we talked about in the beginning, God told them, he said, now ask your fellow Israelites, asked them for silver and for gold, and they gave it to them. And God spoke that before this deliverance ever happened, right? They're going to give you silver and gold. And then what happens? That's exactly what happens. What God says will come to fruition, whether you see it or whether you don't. We see that in the life of Moses. When God says, this is what you're going to do, even though he tried to make up all the excuses of why he couldn't or why he wasn't qualified, God still brought to fruition everything that was in his plan, right? And we see them now walking out as God's army. And as a matter of fact, there's a scripture that says that they had their hands raised high in defiance to Egypt, right? Mm-hmm. We're out of here, boys. And so God truly brought deliverance to his people and was leading them on. Again, paralleling to what's coming today. It's going to get as ugly as it can get. There is going to be things around us that we never thought possible, that we never thought we would see. But we have to understand, do I live in the land of Egypt or do I live in the land of Goshen? I get to choose where I live. You can live in here or you can go live in Merritt, right? You get to choose where you live. And I'm not painting Elk City as bad as Egypt. Don't misunderstand me there. I'm just painting an analogy, a good picture. So you get to choose where you live in this place. Am I going to believe the promises of God, or am I going to fall into complacency and complaint and not believe what God has to say? I know what I choose. So what do? They walk out of Egypt. They have silver and gold. The wealth is now transferred from the Egyptians into the hands of the Israelites. But yet we still see that same heart. They still have not understood who God is in their life. And this is in Exodus 14 and 11. And they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Again, it's going to get darker before the dawn shows up. Yes, their freedom was established. They did get to walk away from the oppressors, but they weren't to the land that God had promised yet. There was still a journey that had to be walked out, right? But what God was trying to do was show his magnificence, to show his power, and he was wanting his people to trust in him, to say, we have seen what you have done in the land of Egypt, and we're thankful for that. Right? Positioning our hearts, as Paul says, from a place of thanksgiving always, no matter what is going on in our lives, to position our heart from a place of thanksgiving, because we all know it could be worse. You know, mm-hmm. You're still alive. You're still breathing. It could be worse. So position your heart to a place. And if it's only from, thank God, I have breath today. If that's the only thing that you can find to be thankful for, let it be the one thing that you are the most thankful for. Thank God that I have breath today. I'm still alive and well. And I want to point this one out. Exodus 14 and verse 14. Moses tells them, the Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. People, we are fixing to see something we have never seen before. Let this scripture, if you've got a highlighter, if you're in your Bible right now following along, highlight, circle, magnify this verse. The Lord himself will fight for you. As we've seen previously, the Lord came down, right? God is fixing to come down in a way we have never seen him before. And as we see the parallel in this story, as we continue on, that he moved in as a cloud. And during the daytime, it was this cloud. And that was at the front of this people group. And as we go back, I didn't highlight on this, but there were 600,000 men is what was counted that day. So if you were to put in the children, the wives, the younger boys that weren't men yet, right? You're talking about 2 to 3 million people. That's what historians estimate, that there was about 2 to 3 million people that God moved now outside of Egypt. So he was freeing them. And that's a big task, right? And that's a lot of people. And this is the other thing that I want you to think about. Understand that where you position yourself influences those that are around you, right? Because what happens if I come in a room and I sit with 10 people and I start complaining? Then number two starts complaining too. And then number three chimes in and they start complaining too. And before you know it, you can have a room full of 10 people complaining, right? But what if I come in and I start being thankful for the things that I have? I'm building up and I'm encouraging. And then number two starts to speak up and, yeah, man, this is what I can be encouraged in my life. This is what I'm thankful for. What happens? It multiplies in the room. Before you know it, you've got 10 people that have positioned their heart in thankfulness because they're focusing on the things that they have, not the things that they lack. I'm here to call the church today up to a place of position yourselves in a place of thanksgiving. Position yourself to be grateful for the things that you do have, not the things that you're lacking in this moment. God is going to move in a way. Just position yourself to be calm because God is coming to fight for you today. I promise you that. If you don't understand that today, let what comes in the future be that. And unfortunately, that's what the Israelites had to see. They had to continually see God moving in a way to prove himself over and over and over. I can look at my life and I can say, God, you have proven yourself over and over and over. I choose not to sit in the seat of complaint today. Mm-hmm. I choose to position my heart to a place of thanksgiving, to know exactly who you are and know that you will be faithful to fulfill the word that you have said, the promises that you have given. So as we continue on into 16, we see God provide in a supernatural way manna. Like that's something that didn't exist, that they had never seen that before. They were hungry and God literally gave them the food of heaven. And it came down as like a dew on the ground. And he gave them specific instruction. Go gather it up. But again, specific instruction. He told them, okay, you pick this much. Don't keep it. What you don't eat, throw it away. And sometimes God will say things to our hearts that don't make sense to our mind. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you again, as we parallel to what's going through today, God is going to start speaking to you in ways you have never heard him before. Get into his word because that's his word. That's where he speaks. That's where he talks to you. Get into the word. God is going to show you things he has never shown you before that you've never found before. Get into the word of God now more than ever. It's so important that you get into the word of God because just like this, he's going to give you specific instruction and you must follow it to a T. And what he showed them there was go out and gather what you can fill your bellies with. What is left over, throw it away. And we see here, some of them tried to hoard, right? They tried to pack it up. But what happened? Maggots immediately showed up. Negativity, things we don't want. Nastiness, right? Follow the voice of God. Be obedient to the thing that he's saying. And again, I take this back to my what we talked about last week, the voice of the prophets. God uses the voice of the prophet to give his direct words. So listen to those voices and see the instruction that God's giving. But not only that, get into the word yourself and say, God, what do you have to say to me? What do you have to say to me today? Because that's what the Israelites didn't do. God was speaking through Moses, right? They were hearing all the voices that he's seen. But as a matter of fact, they even became so reliant on the voice of Moses, they stopped looking at God. And we can't do that either. When we see that those apostolic, the fivefold ministry gifts, they are the voice of God. They do speak things. They do encourage in the voice of God. But do not look to men. God only uses those. Do not put your faith and your hope in that man, but only what that man's saying and the God that he is pointing to. I know, you know, I teach a group and I have been for 10 years in my home. I tell them constantly, do not look to me. It is not me. I am only the messenger. I am only walking out as the gift that God has given to the church in that apostolic ministry to give you what God is showing me and to build you up, to equip you, right? But all I'm doing is pointing, like, he's up there. That's the guy you need to listen to, right? Pay attention to him. Get into his word and know what he has to say to you because he will speak at a personal level within your heart. And if you don't even know what that means, if you call yourself a Christian but you don't know what that means, or if you're not a Christian and you don't know what that means, get in his word and he's going to show you. Seek out someone like myself, a pastor or a teacher, to walk you through that, to build you up, to show you the truth of the gospel so that salvation can be yours today. So we're going to continue on. We see as they go through, they're walking. They start complaining about food. God provides. They start complaining about water. God provides. And what he always does it in a supernatural way, right? So there's no water here. God tells Moses, hit this rock. What does he do? And he hits the rock. Here comes this spring of water. Like, and I'm telling you, people, position yourself. Expect God to show up now in ways he has never showed up before in your life. Because as we see, according to Scripture, in the last days, and everybody's leaning towards this, oh, the tribulation's coming. Oh, the rapture's almost here, right? All these things. Read the word. God doesn't come back until his bride is without spot or without wrinkle. We ain't there yet. There's some life to live. God is about in this moment to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. You are fixing to see God move. The enemy is going to move in a way he never has before. And we already see that. Like we were talking about in here before we started this. The enemy is out of the closet. He is up front, rah, in your face, pushing his agendas, pushing his hate and discord and separation and all of those things. Like, that is not the heart of God. But God is now come down. He is going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. You are fixing to see us walk the church. We are going to walk in the things that we see in Scripture. Go read the New Testament. Jesus himself said, these things that I do. What did he do? He performed miracles. He healed the lame, the lepers, right? He healed the blind eyes. He walked in the supernatural things of God. These things that I do, you guys are going to do greater things. We have not seen that in the body of Christ, right? We have not seen that. But yet, today is the day. Today is the day for us to position our hearts and say, God, we say yes. We say yes to what you're going to do. We say yes to what you have called the church, the body of Christ, to. And I promise you, if you position yourself there, you are going to find yourself in positions praying for people. These signs follow those who believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. The demons will be cast out. They will speak in the new tongues. These are all scriptures from the Word of God. And if we do not position ourselves from that, what do we see in parallel in the story of Exodus? There was an entire generation that had to die because they never would, even though they seen the things of God, they never would come into agreement and say yes. And so God said, you guys, what would have been, as historians calculate, about a 10 to 12 day journey took 40 years. They wandered around. They were lost, literally and figuratively. They were lost because they did not see the truth of what God was saying. They did not agree to the voice of God. And so they had to die off. And so my encouragement today is walking in that gift of what God has given me is to build you up, to equip you and say, position yourself to believe the things that God's saying. And if he hadn't seen it in your own heart yet, listen to the voices that God has called to the forefront that is speaking the truth of the word. Because I do not speak my own words today. I speak the words of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I speak the words that come from the Bible. Everything that I say has a scriptural foundation, not just some crazy thing that's coming from my skull, right? It is something that is because I'm spending time in the Word and I see this is what the Word of God says. And I'm here to regurgitate and share that with you and then encourage you, get in there so you see it for yourself, so it becomes your heart, your desire, and you can position your heart in that way. Do not become as the children of Israel where you are lost, have lost your way and become in complaint. Come into agreement with what God is saying. And I'm here to say today, he is telling you, I am about to show up in a way you have never seen me before. God is yet again going to come down and show up. And as we see in here, a pillar of fire, a pillar of smoke. I don't know what we are going to see God as. I don't know how he's going to reveal himself. But I know what he's saying to the voice of the prophets. He is going to come in a way there is no doubt. Just like this. When that pillar of cloud or that pillar and was a fire was before them, there was no doubt that was the God of the Israelites showing up in a way they had never seen him before, that both them and